Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you on board with us as we face the issues. We'll be dealing with what I am calling the five most important issues facing us this year. The five most important issues, or dangers, if you please, that face America in 2022. What are they? How should we respond to them? Where is our hope? Where are our fears? Should we fear government or God? Should we honor government or God? What does God say about these issues? I believe that most of the issues that we're faced with today and shall be faced with during the days, weeks, months, and the years before us, God's already addressed in the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. As we face the issues, let me remind you, ladies and gentlemen, we do so based on not the political ideological bent. We face the issues not based on some denominational dogma. We face the issues based on the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. I call it the truth book. Jesus said to his disciples, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." And then the Lord Jesus said in John 14:6, "I am truth." It's the truth of the word of God, ladies and gentlemen, that ought to direct our footsteps. We ought to use it to illumine our pathway. And then the Lord Jesus pointed to John 17:17, as we have it recorded in our Bible today. Jesus says, "Thy word is truth. Thy word is truth." It's the truth of the word of God, ladies and gentlemen, that I am urging us each and every day to be cognizant of, pay attention to, and adhere to in our lives. We're talking about some very important issues today, and I pray that you will stay tuned in. Pick up the telephone, call a friend, a relative, a neighbor, ask them to tune in also. Do that each and every day as we watch the audience grow and those that are listening are inspired, challenged, and illuminated on some of the issues that otherwise could not be found. Ladies and gentlemen, most of the things we talk about is not discussed on the Communist Network News. It's not discussed on MSNBC, ABC, CBS, or any of the other secular, non-truthful stations or networks, if you please. In fact, it's an impossibility to find truth in most places, especially on the Communist Network News and those associated with that, or big tech or social media today. Everything that's called truth is being shut out, shut down, and censored. But ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, we need to understand that truth is rejected today, not adhered to, not listened to, not wanted or embraced at all. It was the secularist George Orwell that made the statement, "The further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it." And we're watching that transpire today before our eyes, ladies and gentlemen. A disdain for, an absolute revulsion for, a disdain and hatred for anything that is called truth in our communication today. It is the truth factor that is rejected and that is hated today. This is the reason I am so pleased with the former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint's statement when he said, warns America that decline of truth is linked to the death of truth. The decline in America is linked to the death of truth. And he goes on to talk about the church is the only reciprocal or the only bastion, a custodian for the Bible. And if you want to know why, this is his quote, "If you want to know the reason for the death of truth in America, look no further than the decline of Bible-based Christianity in our nation," end quote. And ladies and gentlemen, I find that to be very factual. This is the reason I always go back to Jan Hus, the 15th century theologian and church reformer, that made the statement, "Faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth, even to death. That's my mantra. That's my challenge. That is my directive each and every day on this broadcast of Let's Face the Issues, is that we need to be willing to stand for truth, even if it means our very lives are in danger. Stand for the truth. Defend it, even to death. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of homeowner brands like Honda and Echo. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. But there's good news today, ladies and gentlemen. Tools for Time is now hiring all positions, house and grounds maintenance, mechanics and technicians, inside and outside sales, customer service representatives, and much, much more. A great place to work, ladies and gentlemen. It's a family-oriented, friendly environment, closed on Sundays so that you can worship with your family and still be employed and a good place to work. Just drop by Tools for Time at 11291, that's 11291. Drop by Tools for Time and make your application and wait for an interview that you can go to work with Tools for Time. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is located at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. There's a gigantic flagpole, 165 feet there, with the U.S. flag Old Glory flowing 24/7. Find that flag and flagpole, ladies and gentlemen. At the base of that flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. During the course of the monologue and throughout this dialogue and discussion today, your telephone call is invited. I want to hear from you today. What do you think would be the top three, top four, top five issues that Americans will be faced with this year? What do you think they are? How would you describe them? Are you concerned about them? What do you see taking place? Love to hear from you. I'd love to hear your opinions on the top three, four, five things. I wanted to call it the top 10 things, but time will not allow in the time frame of this broadcast each day. So I've chopped it in half. We're going to talk about the top five things, the most important things, the most dangerous five things that's facing America in 2022. And why do you think that? What do you think is happening? And what will take place? And why do you think it's taking place? Ladies and gentlemen, before we get into the discussion of these issues today, may I remind us that God's still on the throne. Listen very carefully. Regardless of what we talk about, regardless of the issues, regardless of how dark, dangerous, and pernicious it might seem, I want to remind us that God is still on the throne. That He's not, God's not going on vacation. He's not dead. He's not blind. He's not deaf. He's not sick or impotent. He's still in control, ladies and gentlemen. And so when we talk about issues, I want us to understand that God is still on the throne. God is still in control. God's still watching over His own. God still is absolute sovereign God over this universe. When we see the storms of life, ladies and gentlemen, swirling about us, when we see those storms swirling on the hills before us, we find ourselves often in deep valley looking on the scene and wondering, what can we do? But I want us to understand God's word says we're never alone, never alone. The Lord Jesus Himself has promised never to leave us nor to forsake us. God promised Joshua, ladies and gentlemen, I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage. So let me remind us today, ladies and gentlemen, all that we see taking place now, all that we project that will be taking place in 2022, they may be very unusual and difficult. I believe we're facing a very volatile, very dark year before us. Now, I'm not a prophet of doom and gloom. That's not the point. I'm not saying, look how bad everything is, but I want us to understand with reality what is taking place and have a sense of understanding about it. But again, I go back to Joshua chapter 1, verse 5 and 6. God promised Joshua, He says, I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage. That's my challenge to you today. As you listen to these issues, as we face the reality of what is facing us as a nation, as we unravel that which is going to be taking place before us in the next few days, the next few weeks, the next few months, and over the process of this year and beyond, I want us to understand that our hope and our trust and our faith must be in the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, keep in mind this is an election year, and some very, very strong demonic forces are already at work to change the trajectory and change the direction of our nation as we approach the election season. Ladies and gentlemen, I mentioned a moment ago that I'd consider the top 10 things to be done that we need to be aware of during the course of this year. But I've elected to just select five of those top 10 as I see them. Let me remind you that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. What do you think? What do you think is the most important issue that will face America today? What do you think is the most dangerous issues that will face America during the process of this year? Are you concerned about the election? Are you concerned about censorship? Are you concerned about war with Russia, war with China, war with North Korea, war that will be taking place in the Middle East, a very hot war, I believe, during the course of this year? Are you concerned about gun control? Are you concerned about that which is taking place with the freedom of religion, the freedom of speech, and the Bill of Rights in our nation? Are you concerned about that? Do you believe that they will be on the forefront of importance during the days, weeks, and months before us during the course of this year? I believe they are. We're going to talk about several of those during the course of this broadcast today, and I pray that you'll stay tuned in. You'll take part. Participate. This program is designed around you, our listener, Q&A format, so that we can set forth the issues. You can call in and have dialogue and discussion about them, and we invite you to do so today. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe the first thing, number one, and I believe you'll find this in Matthew chapter 24, beginning with verse 5. I believe the number one thing that we're going to be faced with today is a further decline, spiritual decline of freedom of religion and restrictions that you can recall during the lockdowns took place. During the lockdowns, ladies and gentlemen, churches were not considered essential. You recall that. Churches were considered non-essential. That determination decision was made by the governors and the mayors across America, that are the ten horn dictators, as I called them, that felt that they were in total control, total charge. They left the bars open. They left the lounges open. They left the pot shops open. They left the sodomite centers open. Yet, ladies and gentlemen, they shut down the churches because churches were considered non-essential. Now, ladies and gentlemen, they've set the pattern. They've set the standard. When I say they, I'm talking about the federal and state governments. They've set the pattern. They've set the standards that we as Christians are not essential. Our churches are not essential. They ordered the churches to be closed, locked down, and it was unconstitutional order. But yet, ladies and gentlemen, the overwhelming majority of the churches and the pastors across America yielded to the unconstitutional, unholy, ungodly edict mandate for the churches to close. And ladies and gentlemen, you recall that, but even now, across America, churches are struggling to remain open. Churches are struggling to remain open, and it's because of the shutdown, and the shutdown was based on a false premise of COVID. I don't know if you've heard it or not. I've spoken about it briefly, but major studies taking place out of the leadership of those in Japan in relationship to what is taking place about masks and about lockdowns, et cetera, et cetera. John Hopkins University has done major studies, and combined, ladies and gentlemen, it's been determined that the lockdowns had no effect whatsoever, zip, zero, no effect on saving lives because of COVID, zip, zero, none. They've determined that masks had zip, zero, no effect to stop the spread of COVID in the past 2 years. And yet, ladies and gentlemen, we have places like New York, we have places like Washington, D.C., places like Washington State and Oregon and others that are now forcing the lockdowns, forcing the shutdowns, forcing the mask to continue to be worn. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm concerned because it affects spirituality. It affects the God's plan for God's church and God's people to continue to stand and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is because of that taking place in the past, we're now finding major closures of churches on a national level. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, according to the George Barna report, one out of five churches in America will close. And the article said, the research said, in the next 18 months. Well, that article was published about 7 or 8 months ago now. And George Barna said that we have about 300,000, hear me, about 300,000 churches in the United States of America. And if one out of five churches, as he said, will close down, then, ladies and gentlemen, that's about 60,000 churches in the next year, during the course of this year, that according to the Barna report, the Barna research report, that will be shut down. And I'm seeing, ladies and gentlemen, a major decline in those that are interested in church, those that are willing to go. There are too many people today that say, well, I just sit and sip my coffee or sip my soda or sip my Bud Dumber or Miller Lowlife while sitting on the couch supposedly worshiping, and all it is a spectator religion. There's no way that you can have fellowship with other believers, no way that you can truly worship with other believers if you're sitting on your couch. But because of so many now big services being video streamed across the internet, multitudes of people have decided, then that's my way of church. That's where I'll go. I can sit in my shorts. I can sit in my jeans or whatever and not have to get ready, not have to move a finger to go to church. Ladies and gentlemen, according to the Barna Report, one out of five churches are going to close. And if we've got 300,000 churches in America, that means about 60,000 churches will close forever in the United States of America. I don't know about you, but ladies and gentlemen, I find that it's bringing about the fast track of the apostasy, the great falling away that's spoken of in 1 Timothy chapter 4. Now, the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times, that's the days which we're living, ladies and gentlemen, in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. That's talking about the Christian faith, giving heed, that is giving attention, giving devotion to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. We find that to be true today, ladies and gentlemen. So the thing that I want us to understand, the very first thing that I think should be of primary importance, the very first thing that I think that should head up any list of things that I believe are dangerous, devastating, and dark that will take place during the course of this year is that of the decline of spirituality. It is the decline of those that are going to church. It's the decline of those that are saying yes to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. It is a spiritual decline. And we're in that apostasy, that spiritual decline today. And ladies and gentlemen, listen, I don't care what you say. I don't care what others may say. It doesn't make any difference what some politician or some so-called spiritual leader may say, but as the church goes, so goes America. If we find a decline in the church, if we find a decline in Christianity, if we find a decline in spirituality, if we find a nonchalant, lackadaisical attitude about spiritual things, about the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God, then we're going to find a decline in any nation where that is the case. If you don't believe that, go to any foreign country and find where Christianity is banned or where Christianity does not exist, and you'll find a moral, ethical decline in every aspect and every facet of society. And the thing that troubles me, is very, very troubling, is according to the same Barna Report, ladies and gentlemen, only 6% of the so-called American Christians, only 6% have a biblical worldview. Only 6% believe the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God ought to be the guideline and the direction for what we do, what we say, and how we respond in a world today. And only 4% of the millennials, that's the 18 to 35-year-old age group, only 4% have a biblical worldview. And out of that 4%, 57% of that 4% believe that sodomite lifestyle is okay, believe that lying is okay if necessary. They believe that drugs and illicit sex are okay. Ladies and gentlemen, and yet they call themselves, that 4% say that they have a biblical worldview. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm here to tell you we're in a decline, and that decline is on the fast track unless we as Christians, unless we as believers get back in our churches and start doing what God's called us to do and seek God's face, turn from our wicked ways, and ask Him to heal our land. Unless we do that, ladies and gentlemen, that's talking about having a real revival in our nation. Unless we do that, we're watching the decline and the demise and the disintegration and the destruction of once a strong nation called the United States of America. We're watching that today on the fast track. And I am concerned about this because, ladies and gentlemen, if we see that taking place, we see the demise of Christianity, the closure of churches, then we see, ladies and gentlemen, that we'll cease to have the opportunity to proclaim the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're defined in nations like Canada where they have already, by law, by legislation and law, they've deemed that the Bible is a book of mythology. It's simply a myth book. Well, I've said so many times down through the years, those that think the Word of God is a myth, they're going to wake up one day in the smoking section called hell and realize they were myth taken. Myth taken. We got a lot of folks that believe the Bible is a myth today. But ladies and gentlemen, I believe that we're going to see major, major decline in America this year. As churches close, as pastors leave the ministry, and I understand it's some 1,500 a month across America is leaving the pulpits, leaving America, leaving the American churches. Ladies and gentlemen, we're in a dangerous position due to that falling away. when the storms come in life, when there's the loss of jobs, the loss of health, the loss of income, the loss of security, the loss of privacy, the loss of what we hold near and dear called our Bill of Rights, there are going to be those today and in this year and the years to come that will have no answer, no place to turn to. Ladies and gentlemen, where do you turn if there's the loss of a job, loss of health, loss of life? Where do you turn if all of a sudden, and we'll talk about that during the course of this broadcast, where do you turn if all of a sudden you can't go to the grocery store and buy groceries because the shelf's empty? Where do you turn, ladies and gentlemen, if there's a turndown in the economy with stagflation like it was in 78, 79, and 80 with the one that was in office, Jimmy Carter, that had stagflation, and interest rates to buy a home was 20 to 24%. Where do you turn if you do not have a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, that you can turn to? I believe we have Greg on the line. Greg, if you have a question or comment, please.
I just want to let you know before we start that I am sitting here, sipping on my coffee, looking out on out over these beautiful Smoky Mountains, and there's an absolute roar going on outside. We have the wind blowing through these mountains, and it's just a steady roar all through the night and all through the morning, expecting more cool, crisp, and even snowy weather to roll in, but it's beautiful. It is still the southern tip of heaven. But no, I'm not going to sit here and drink my coffee and just listen to a TV preacher or my Facebook preacher or a radio preacher, and as much as you're a great radio preacher, I don't think it's a good idea to just sit and sip coffee when you have the opportunity to go in and fellowship with
Absolutely.
Fellow believers.
Yes.
And we certainly all realize, anyone that's in the scripture realizes, we are seeing that falling away before our very eyes. I spent at least an hour on the phone day before yesterday with an individual that I did not know. He just called about a piece of equipment. We started talking, and in very short order, he poured out his heart. And he's not been in church. He's a professing believer. And his distraught story included talking about how his family had pretty well rejected him. Even his mother and father have nothing to do with him. And I did try to encourage with these words, you have family, the family of Christ, the body of Christ. And that's one of the many reasons why you don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together. And I felt for him. I mean, literally, I'm broken. But we listen across the United States, around the world. You have that story that could be told tens of millions of times. Individuals that feel like they are all alone. Well, you're not alone. The Lord's with you. But guess what? That presence many times is not fully felt unless you're in the household of faith and you're fellowshipping with other believers that can lift you up, can spread out your grief and double your joy because you're around them. You're around fellow believers that love the Lord the way you love the Lord. It's heartbreaking to see how many have rejected the fullness of what God has given us.
I tell people, and I've used this term for many, many years, too many Christians are living off the weeds of life rather than the joy of life that God provides for us through our submission and obedience to His Word. Greg, hold on a moment. I believe we have Tom on the line. Tom, go ahead with your question or comment, please.
Yes, sir, Dr. Youngblood, thank you so much for the subject today. I realize back, I'm less than 100, but in my day, in the 50s, if you told someone you were a Christian, if you went to church, it had meaning and purpose, and it had respect. But along came the 60s with the smoke pot, you know, free love, everything. Then you got into all the different things like what is the movement where you get free money, God's going to bless you. It really watered
called
down.
Called the prosperity gospel.
That's it. And it really watered down the gospel. And now you got people that go to church because they like the music. They like the big crowd. It used to be, if you're a politician and you wanted to win in Jacksonville, you really joined First Baptist downtown. And even if you didn't go, if you got on the rolls and showed up one time, you could campaign that you were there. But today, that's just a shell of itself. They're liquidating all that property. And I see that's what's wrong, is that now apathy has creeped in. And now it's just, it's diluted down. And it must make Christ cry. But to me, that's the thing, that Christianity has become watered down. It's become cheapened. And,
yes.
And you don't have the respect. I went to a coffee and donut place this morning, and there was a really nice looking young lady there. She had pretty blonde hair and had her nails done nice, but her beard was beginning to show. That just wouldn't have happened 40 years ago, 50 years ago. I was just wondering, did the person that examined her when she was born make a mistake, put the wrong gender on the birth certificate? But
well, you see, Tom, you're hitting the nail on the head. One of the things we found, we've got watered-down Christianity. We've got the make-believe churches. I call them the pop-up churches, with the pop-up music, with the pop-up pastors preaching goosebump theology, cotton candy theology, and voodoo theology. And as a result of that, we have destroyed the centrality of biblical truth, and we've wiped out anything that causes hope in the hearts of an individual. And this is the reason I'm using this aspect as the very first of what I call five major things, issues that I believe is going to face America this year. And it's the spiritual decline that I believe is the underpinning, the foundation, the fundamental warp in the woof of all that we do in America and in any society. If we destroy the biblical foundations, we're going to destroy a nation. Tom, you're exactly right. One of the things that is my prayer and my challenge to our listeners today is that we get back to the fundamental, rudimentary, elemental truth of the Word of God and depend on Him, because I believe we're going to face a nation. A nation's going to face issues this year that those without Christ, those without a church home, those without a biblical foundation, they'll be without hope and without help and will be hopeless as a ship in the sea without a sail. But Tom, thank you so much for your call. Thank you so much. God bless you. Look up. Keep looking up. Our redemption draweth nigh. Greg, we've got a minute or two before we take the top of the hour news break. What are your thoughts in relationship to the need? Do you believe that a biblical foundation, do you believe that the spiritual stand of a nation is the underpinning of everything else that happens in our nation?
Anything else is sinking sand. I mean, and sadly, generationally, that's not been passed on. You know, Psalm 78 in those first seven or eight verses very clearly spell out, and you see it repeated through the scripture, but we have a responsibility to the next generation, that we share the Lord with them. You know, His mercies, His graces, His wonderful works, and His judgments, and that hasn't been done. And we have literally folks that are my age, I think they called folks my age Gen Xers, and you've got, you know, millennials and Gen Zers out there that have no contact, no frame of reference, not just historically. You know, that they don't understand the Carter years and the chaos financially. They're disconnected also spiritually. They're not in the faith. They're not in the church. They're not in their Bible, and they'll not know when the whirlwind hits where it came from. These are kids that get out of college and immediately assume a six-figure salary and a 5,000 square foot house is something that they deserve. There's a disconnect from reality, and it's because we failed. Many of us have failed as parents, but the pulpit has failed us. Do you know how rare you are as a pastor? How rare we're not getting the truth out of the pulpits in America, and that's where much of this chaos has come from.
I'm what you'd call a spiritual dinosaur. That's how rare I am. Greg, and ladies and gentlemen, hang on, hold on for just a moment. We're going to have the top of the hour news for about 1 minute. We'll be right back, right after the top of the hour news, and we're going to continue our thought today of the top five things, the top five issues that I believe we'll be faced with as Americans this year. Number one is a spiritual decline, moral, ethical, spiritual decline. Secondly, I believe it's a shortage of food and groceries that's going to face us like a whirlwind. Hang in there. Don't turn your dial. We'll be right back as we continue to face the issues.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.